Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Rob Pritchard here, and over the next hour we're going to take you through the sporting action coming up on the Isle of Man and further afield this weekend, coming up on tonight's programme. The preliminary rounds of two cup competitions dominate the weekend Manx football schedule, with the 2026 Hospital Cup and Junior Cup competitions to get underway. Ahead of what could be the finale to their season, we hear from FC Isle of Man's caretaker manager, Rick Holden, who's been reflecting on his time with the club so far. In rugby, the promotion playoffs beckon for Douglas in Regional 2 North West tomorrow, whilst Vagabonds Ladies and Ramsey are in action on Ireland in Women's NC 2 North South and Counties 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire's Minor Conference League, respectively. Elsewhere, two Isle of Man cricketers are preparing for the exciting opportunity of representing Europe, with one of those getting their campaign started today. And two major marathon events are on the horizon in athletics over the next 10 days. We take a look at what's to come now and also in the weeks ahead on Ireland. That is all to come this evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. The time is just approaching 28 minutes to 6. Hope you've had a wonderful week so far. We've got some glorious weather out of the window after what was a pretty miserable start to the week. So fingers crossed this sunshine holds across Saturday and Sunday, because both on and off Ireland, another busy schedule, particularly football and rugby, right in the business end of the respective seasons across the respective clubs, leagues and so forth. Turning our attention to football first of all, and away from all the league action that's still got to be done and dusted over the next few weeks, it's cup action back in the spotlight, because two cup competitions are dominating the schedule this weekend. The preliminary rounds of both the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup and the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup. To go through everything as usual is our football correspondent, Tony Meppam. Tony, another busy weekend, and I suppose quite glad to get these cup competitions underway, because it really is still stacking up towards the end of the campaign.
Yeah, it is, Rob, but I looked at it during the weekend. It's not as bad as it may seem to many. Yes, there's one or two clubs who've got an awful lot of fixtures to get out of the way. But once the Hospital Cup starts and the Junior Cup, the way I look at it is tomorrow we lose seven of the teams, and then the following Saturday we lose eight. So there's 15 gone out of the 22, 23 teams. So I don't sort of really panic on it, but it just shows again midweek this week, Rob, we lose games due to the weather. And we do have a switch in venue tomorrow, and that's Hermann against St Mary's in the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup, and that's being moved to St Mary's purely because Moran's pitch was underwater yesterday.
Indeed, yeah, a couple of changes. There's also a change to one of the games in the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup. We'll come to that in just a little bit. Let's take a look then to start with at the preliminary round fixtures in the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup this year. So seven games scheduled for tomorrow, and my eyes were first drawn, Tony, once this draw was made to the top of the list here, and that sees so Colby, the runaway leaders in our Dern and Drigon Limited Division 2 right now, they're 16 points clear going into the weekend, and they're going to be hosting the defending back-to-back champions of the Hospital Cup, Ramsey. This could be an interesting one.
It should be, and I think Colby are really looking forward to it, because of late they've been in great form, and look at that performance midweek, absolutely fantastic. And you know, Jordan Edge with six of the goals was absolutely brilliant, and they've got goal scorers right the way through the team, so they'll be looking to make it difficult for Ramsey. Probably one of the better things is Ramsey's defence, because, you know, okay, they've picked up a little bit, but they're still sort of finding it hard to get that momentum that they had last season. And I think it's going to be a huge ask for them to get to three Hospital Cup finals on the bounce, but we'll wait and see how that goes. But certainly tomorrow, Colby will try and make it difficult, but I just wonder if Ramsey can do it. Now, don't forget, Ramsey had three players sent off midweek, so those players, in theory, are available, my understanding of the rules, because it takes about 6 or 7 days for the ban to come through, so that'll help things. Jack Gilbert, one, Dylan Pickles, two. So we'll wait and see if they're available, but certainly against Colby, it's going to be a tight game, but I'm going to go for Ramsey just to win it.
Down at Croyte Lowy in the South of the Island, Rushen United, they'll be hosting Douglas Royal of Division 2.
Yeah, and I think Douglas Royal, you know, they've been playing well of late. The younger players are coming in and really cementing well with the rest of the elder players around them, as were with Rushen. Hard-fought draw against Lexi midweek, and again, Aaron Hawley just shows you he's a little bit of the older stage of life, but he's still there. He's still playing really well, still scoring plenty of goals. And I think with the team playing against a side in Division 2 mid-table, they should be able to win it and rush him to go through.
Now, this is a game with a bit of a change, as you mentioned before. Tony Moran versus St Mary's. This game now taking place at the Bowl in Douglas tomorrow at 2 o'clock. All games in the preliminary round of the Manx Quality Shared Hospital Cup all kicking off at 2 o'clock tomorrow. So, Moran, who are very much in the fight, of course, to try and get promoted back into the top flight up against the St Mary's side, Tony. And for St Mary's, of course, holding the Premier League leaders Corinthians to a draw in midweek as well. So, St Mary's still on the up at the moment in terms of league terms, and Moran as well. This, for them, if they are to be promoted at the end of the season, could be a good idea of what they could be facing next season.
Yeah, it could be, but I think they're looking at how many games they've still got to play. And when you think in Division 2, they've got to play each other 27 times. So, you know, Moran have only played 16, so they've still got 11 league games to play. So, to be honest with you, I don't think they'll be too upset if they do lose this one against St Mary's. But, yeah, what a performance by St Mary's midweek. They were 2-0 down against Corinthians, but a couple of goals by Jack McVeigh, and then the third one went in and meant the points were shared against Corinthians. I think, you know, St Mary's have showed over the last two or three games that they're strong enough to compete with anyone. And I just think Moran, with looking at that promotion chance, they maybe don't want to continue in the league. I'm not saying they're going to throw the game because they're not like that. But I just feel that St Mary's, with being a league difference in the two teams, will be the difference in that performance. And I'm going to go for Alex Harrison's team to go through.
All right, over at Billygo Park, so Foxdale still rooted to the bottom of the Canada Life Men's Premier League, mathematically still hanging in by a thread in the Canada Life Men's Premier League at the moment. They're going to be at home to a Union Mills side, Tony, mid-table in the Premier League at the moment.
Yeah, and Union Mills, if you look at the midweek performances and the goals and the scores, unbelievable how many went in, but certainly Union Mills against Duncan, what was it, 4-4 I think it was. So, you know, it really was a really good performance by both teams. But, you know, I just feel that against Foxdale, you know, Foxdale have had a really tough season. They've done really well. When you look at the team sheet from the start of the season, Rob, to the team sheet now, there's a lot of changes in. So that bodes well for the future. They've got some really good young players there. But I think they're going to find it too difficult against Ryan Kelly's team. And with Tyler Hughes in good form, Jordan Crawley as well, I have to go with Union Mills to take victory.
Then over at the Niverson Stadium, an all Premier League meeting between Onken and Laxey. These two teams actually faced each other in the Premier League last weekend. Laxey emerging narrow 1-0 winners. And Laxey, of course, the we say Ramsey are back-to-back champions. Laxey are back-to-back runners-up in this competition as well. They'll be looking to go better. But against Onken, of course, these two sides have impressed this season, haven't they?
They have impressed. And I think, you know, Laxey, when you look at the start of the season that they had, they did really well. And then it sort of petered away a little bit. Key players not available. And then Johnny Palmer's team have sort of come back a little bit. It depends how sort of they do. I watched it last week against Onken. It wasn't pretty. You know, Johnny knows that the team can perform better. And sometimes if you get a bad game and you get that shifted out of the way, the next performance can be a little bit better. But, you know, Onken are the same. They didn't have a great performance last week, so I expect more out of both teams. I think the forward line for Onken last week was really quiet, and there's no reason why, because Ethan Lever's there. You know, you've got Andy Asbridge. But, you know, Laxey, it's up to them to see what squad they've got. I'm going to go for Onken just to take victory.
Elsewhere at Douglas Road, so the defending Canada Life Men's Premier League champions Peel, who are right in the hunt this year, of course. So in the Premier League, they only trail Corinthians at the top by goal difference, and Peel have two games in hand. Now, they host Ramsey Sentinel Boys, this year's GH Corlett Woods Cup winners. Now, these two teams, Tony, actually met in the ECAP FA Cup a while back as well, and Peel only just about came out on top in a 3-2 win. Do you think Ramsey Sentinel Boys can push them all the way like they did last time, or are you expecting a bit of a different story?
Well, I just don't know, because after Ramsey Centre won the Cup, then they had a bit of a disaster in the midweek game. So I don't know what went wrong there. I thought they did a really good job in the final. I thought the players, you know, acquitted themselves really well. Dylan Parrish was good, and he sort of gels it all together. But against Peel, you know, they're homing in on the league, and, you know, great performance midweek against Ramsey. And I just think it's in the bag now, as far as I'm concerned, with Corinthians dropping points. So I think, you know, Peter Kenyuk's team will keep the feet on the ground. They've got some really good young players who are coming through. And I just feel that certainly with Jason Charmer, Lee Gale and Thomas Brown has been scoring for fun, hasn't he? I just think they'll be too strong for Ramsey Centre. And I think you'll see a different scoreline to what it was last time.
very well. And the final game in the preliminary round of the Manx Quality Shared Hospital Cup this weekend is down south, and that sees Castletown, Castletown second in Division 2 at the moment, holding on to that final promotion spot as it stands. They're going to be hosting a Braddon side in the Premier League who are all but mathematically safe at the moment in the Premier League, Braddon as well. So for these two sides, if, again, similar question around Moran, I guess, obviously, hypothetically, if Castletown were to get promoted back to the Premier League, is this the sort of game that they would maybe see as a bit of a benchmark as to who they could be competing with next season?
Very much so, and I think they know that, and the players have just got to try and sort of concentrate a little bit more, I think, because they don't want to let this opportunity to get promoted slip, because last year it didn't quite work out for them. And you know, when you look at it this year, that you're hoping that they can get over the line. But when you look at Ramsey Centre just behind them, played a game more on 39, but the one we're looking at is 3 points behind them is Moran, who've got 4 games in hand on Castletown. So that's where the switch is going to be, I think. But against Braddon, I think Will Smith and everybody else have worked hard to make sure that they stay in the Premiership this year, and that's what they've done. And I think now they'll just concentrate and enjoy, you know, maybe a cup run, because against Castletown, they're the favourites, I think, and I think they'll beat Castletown.
Very well. So that's the Manx Quality Shared Hospital Cup preliminary round fixtures, all kicking off at 2 p.m. tomorrow. Moving on to the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup preliminary round, all games bar one kicking off at 2 o'clock, as Tony mentioned. And if you missed it at the start of the programme, one change is between St John's United and St Mary's. That is now going to be an early kickoff at 12 p.m. tomorrow, so do just bear that in mind if you're heading down to that game at Mullin at Chloe. Now 10 games here, Tony, so want to pick out a couple that particularly caught my eye once this draw was made. And my eyes were first off very much drawn to the one over between Pulrose United and Rushen United. Pulrose United right in the thick of that three-way combination two title chase, up against the Rushen United side, who of course have been such a key side in combination one in recent years. They're not in the title mix at the moment this season, but on paper at least, Tony, do you agree this could be an intriguing one?
Yeah, definitely, because Pulrose have still got the chance they might go up, but I doubt it. I think what I'm saying is that they had it set up in front of them that it was there to be had, but now it's sort of slipping away. But certainly the combination side have been absolutely fantastic. What it was, 15 games, was it 16 games that they're unbeaten, something like that. It's a good chunk, but they're still putting good performances, a good win midweek, but against Rushen United again. The Junior Cup's a bit of a lottery, to be honest with you, Rob, because you don't know what sort of first-team players qualify for the combination. You don't know what players who've played combi have done really well, have played too many games in the first team. So we'll suss that out after the first week. But I'll stick my neck out and I'll just go for Rushen to win it. I just think they'll be too strong for Pulley, and you'll probably see the difference between the two leagues.
Very well. And a similar crossover, if you like, between Combination 2 and Combination 1 that caught my eye as Douglas Athletic, another team like Pulrose United, one of those three teams pushing for the Combination 2 title. They're going to be hosting the current Canada Life Combination 1 leaders, Peel, who are just ahead of Corinthians on goal difference.
Yeah, and I think certainly Peel, I think they'll look at themselves as being one of the favourites. I've seen their squad, who's very strong. So I think they're going to push Ramsey all the way, because I always look at Ramsey and sort of Peel, even though they're top of the league at the moment. When you look at Ramsey just behind them, it's 2 games in hand. They've got 2 points difference, so you'd expect Ramsey to possibly pick up those 6 points. But certainly the Peel manager will be happy enough with the squad he's got. Douglas Athletic, a lot of older players, a lot of Masters players in there, and people like Will Penhorick, and that will have to contain the young legs of Peel. I think it's going to be very difficult, and that's why I'm going to go for Peel to win.
Very well. We'll give a quick mention to the other fixtures, of course, taking place. Don't want to miss those out. So in the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup preliminary round, 2 o'clock kickoffs tomorrow. So Michael United versus Douglas Royal, Ramsey versus Douglas and District, Colby at home to Corinthians, Union Mills welcome St George's, Jim's host Onken, Ramsey Centre and Old Boys host Castletown. And Tony, your thoughts on a couple of those?
Yeah, look at... go quickly right through them. Michael United against Douglas Royal, I'm going to go with Douglas Royal to take victory. Ramsey against D&D, there's a massive difference, isn't there? Because Ramsey, in theory, technically could be top of Combi 1. D&D are bottom of Combination 2. So I think there's a good idea where that's going to go. Put Colby against Corinthians. Colby, again, been conceding a few goals of late. But Corinthians, I know, have got a very small squad. I think they've only got 12 or 13 players qualified. So that's going to be a tough one for them. But I'll go for Corinthians to win. Union Junior Mills against St George's. I think St George's combination have picked up of late, but I'm going to go for Millers to take it. Jim's against Onken. I think Onken worthy of their fourth place in combination one, and they'll win that game. Ramsey Centre against Castletown. Ramsey Centre slipped up midweek, but I expect them to beat Castletown. Ayr against Moran. Took a bit of a beating in United midweek, so I'll go with Moran on that. And as I've just said, Douglas Athletic Peel. Definitely Peel.
Very well. And just quickly before we move on to the league fixtures taking place tomorrow, Tony, I suppose people will want to know if we're going to be seeing any cup draws taking place this weekend.
We certainly are. Tomorrow we'll do the hospital cup draw probably about 20 past five after we've gone through the results. Carl Gartland will get him up here to do the draw. The junior cup draw, we'll do that after the games on Sunday. We won't be able to do it live because obviously the show's on here on Manx Radio, so we'll do that one because we need to get that draw done as quick as we can because the fixtures need to be sorted out for the following weekend.
Very well. Looking at the smattering of league fixtures, shall I say, on Saturday as well, just the three taking place. One of them is actually rearranged from midweek, and it's a crucial one for one of the teams as well, in the Canada Life Men's Premier League, 2:30pm kickoff tomorrow at Blackberry Lane. Douglas High School All Boys versus Ayr United, Tony, and quite simply, if Douglas High School All Boys don't take all 3 points this weekend, they're relegated.
Yeah, I think All Boys have looked at it as well and accepted that they're under the cosh, and you know, when you look at it against Ayr United, it's a game that they could possibly sort of take victory because Ayr have dipped. They're in 10th place in the league at the moment. They've missed a lot of quality players this season, so it's a bit of a rebuild job for Phil Quayle, the manager, for next season, and just depends on the commitment from the players as well, because you know, maybe one or two of them might just finish up playing football. I'm not too sure. But I think Old Boys will try their hardest, but I think Ayr has still got enough quality there to win it.
Very well. Ardonagh and Drogheda Limited Division 2, a double header of games there tomorrow. Also both 2:30pm kickoffs. First off is a meeting between the bottom two sides. Governors Athletic hosting Douglas and District. Governors Athletic, just the one win in 22 this season. Douglas and District, no wins on the board at the moment. Just the 2 points on the board from 24 games. So coming toward the end of the season, Tony, for these two sides, maybe a chance for a bit of a confidence boost.
Well, it is. And I think, you know, both clubs will have a little look and say, well, have we done well? Well, when you look at the difference between Governors and the team above them, there's a colossal amount of points, isn't it? There's 15 points. So it's an awful lot, that. So Governors have still got a lot of committed players there, and I haven't seen them this season, but I watched them last year, and I thought they might have done a lot better this year. But Douglas and District, they lost quite a few players at the start of the season, and the younger players have come in and have done really well. They've had, what, five or six probably debutants throughout the season, which bodes well for the rest of, you know, 26, 27, whatever, see how it goes. But it's hanging on to those sort of players because work commitments, everything else. But against each other, I just think Governors will be a little bit too strong and take the points away from D&D.
Very well. And the other game sees Maloo versus Paul Rose United. Now, just doing some quick checking here, Tony, for Maloo's side of things. Of course, mid-table in Division 2 at the moment this season. However, they've only lost two of their last eight in all competitions and only lost out 5-4 against Ramsey Centre and All Boys in midweek. Hosting Paul Rose United here, and Paul Rose United, of course, have been steady this season, but up against the Maloo team that have been on the up recently.
Well, they have, and I think Maloo knew it was always going to happen, and they've had, you know, problems with the fixtures that, you know, that the teams that they were playing against didn't go ahead, so they fell behind. They had problems with their own pitch, you know, because we've had an awful lot of rain. But of late, it's been brilliant for Maloo. When you look at people like Paddy Cooper, you've got Jordan Krippner in there, Kieran Krippner, they've sort of done really well scoring goals, and I think that's the difference. And you know, Paul Rose, we were saying before, you know, going about promotion and everything looked so good for them, but it's sort of gone towards the end, and there's still plenty of games to play. But I just feel at the moment the way Maloo have been doing it, and you know, the sort of teams they've been playing and the way they've been able to compete with them has been absolutely brilliant. And well done to everybody involved, and I just feel in this game I think Maloo might just be able to sneak it.
Okay, those are Saturday's fixtures. Quickly turning then to Sunday, and there's a triple helping of women's football on the Isle of Man this Sunday. First off, we have one fixture in the first round of the Canada Life Women's FA Cup. That's a 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday, and it's a Southern Derby, which sees Maloo up against a Russian United team. Russian United just came out on top in a thriller 5-4 winners over Union Mills last week in the Canada Life Women's League.
Yeah, and I think this one here, it just depends again with Maloo. They have the players available, but it's whether they can play on that weekend, and that's a big problem for them. So we'll wait and see how that one goes. But, you know, Rushen United really looking forward to it. It's their first, if you like, cup game of since they've reformed. And I wish Donna's team well to try and get something out of this one. But I think Malou will just be a little bit too strong. And once this game is out of the way, Rob, we can then do the semi-final draw and get those games played. We're looking at probably the 3rd of May.
Very well. And then a doubleheader in the Canada Life Women's League. Also 2 o'clock kickoffs on Sunday. Union Mills, they're going to be hosting Peel, and Corinthians will welcome Douglas Royal.
Yeah, just got to correct you on that one, Rob, because I pinged an email, but maybe you didn't get it. It doesn't matter, but we've got the big one, which is Peel against Corinthians on this, because I put it down from the 26th and it should have been on the 19th. So what we've got is Peel against Corinthians, and we've got Onchan against Union Mills. So those two games, you know, at the moment, you have to go with Onchan probably to beat Union Mills, but the Peel and Corinthians, it's one of them because it's near enough going down to how the result goes on Sunday. Now, if Corinthians win it, and I'm guessing here, I think it was...
Well, Peel won 3-1. The previous meeting between the two in the league, and that's where the lead is at the moment.
That's right. So just wait and see. And then if it's all square, then it goes into another game. So we'll wait and see. But certainly on performances this year, I think it's Peel, because Peel beat them in the Floodlit Cup competition as well. So it just shows you how strong they are.
Indeed, Tony, thank you very much just for the moment.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Now, FC Alamance caretaker manager says he's proud of his players and the club's efforts this season as they prepare for what looks to be the finale to their NWCFL Premier Division campaign this weekend. The Ravens will take to the field for what should be the final time of the 25-26 campaign tomorrow when they travel to face Padiham at the Ruby Civil Arena. It's been a challenging campaign for the Manx side, who can finish no higher than 19th in the standings, but did secure their safety in the league in late March. Well, ahead of the weekend, I spoke to Rick Holden to get his thoughts on a tough few results in recent weeks, what he's made of his time at the club, and what he thinks is needed for FC Isle of Man to progress going forward.
Well, the last few weeks have been bitty and difficult to get a consistent side together, and the results, I mean, the lads have worked hard enough and they've played good enough football at times, but it's just, I think it's sat, you know, a bit too far type of feeling, and because we got safe a few weeks ago as well, it's just been a bit of I would call it a bit disappointing.
Just on that point though, I think it's something that's been brought up previously as well, is the fact with all the travelling and all the logistics as well, it can be tiring, not just physically but mentally as well. Is that something you and the squad have noticed, not just in the last few weeks but over the course of what is a long 46 game season?
Well, they are tired physically and mentally, you're bound to be, but they managed to get themselves revved up, ready for the game, but you can't. It's impossible to measure. But I mean, everybody is ready to finish now. I'll give it that. And they sort of go under a bit quick, rather than when we were fighting for survival, they would fight back a bit. It just feels like a bit of same old. And you know, we've just gone under a couple of times. It's been again a bit disappointing. But it's the sheer volume of time that grinds you down. So I'm just glad we got out of it, you know.
Just on that point about, I suppose, getting yourself fired up for these occasions, obviously for the past couple of weeks you're not troubled by what's going on at the bottom, but you're not challenging toward the top this season. And I know a few weeks ago you said to the club media, you know, you don't just want the season to peter out, but it is a long season. So how do you go about keeping that mentality and that physicality at that level?
Well, it's difficult. You just have to say to them, you know, what's the point of coming all this way if you're not going to put a shift in? And I mean, the last game they did really well against Barnoles. I mean, you end up with the players and think, well, with these players, what system can I do? Not the other way around. What system do I want to play? And all the players available. So lack of availability makes you have to get a system to fit. And they did really well. It was 0-0. Should have been out of sight with two or three chances. And then you think, half time, saying, right, come on, another 45 minutes, and you can see they want to do it. Go out there, played well again for the first few 10 minutes or so, but then a couple of mistakes, they score, and you can see we're just like, get us out of here type mentality happening, even though they were still ran and ran and ran. And you can see, well, you know, that performance wouldn't be the same if it was like third or fourth game in, or you were going for, you know, promotion or something. So it has petered out, unfortunately. We've got one more game left now, see if we can do something.
whatever happens over the summer with yourself and with the club, the million-dollar question, really, what's it going to take to get FC Alamann to progress? And I'm not talking about there has to be a seismic change, but to get them on that path, in your opinion and with your experience, what needs to happen at the club to get more results on the pitch?
Well, there's a long-term and short-term answer to it. Long-term is you need your own home, you need your own training ground attached to that, because training's so important and it can't be just time constraint, you know, 1 hour at the bowl consumed by a warm-up, half of it, you know. You go back to my Peel days when I went there first in 96, because we owned everything, we could train at 6 till 10 and you could get everything done twice a week, you know, and you up the quality, you up the commitment, and you've got far more time. You're not cramming it inward all the time now. It's just time constraints all the time. And that's the long term. The short term, you just hope you get enough players to commit to a season to put. I mean, I only put the same side out twice consecutively when we beat Withenshaw and drew with Ramsbottom, the top two teams, which shows you everything. If I had the best Ireland players to work with from the top clubs like Corinthians, Peel, Rushen and all that, all the big clubs that are commit, that take their players off them and put them into FC, plus the current FC, you'd have a far greater chance. But, you know, the chances of getting them together is so difficult, and I don't know how you crack that, to be honest, without incentives of. And even if they are really motivated, something will crop up as well. You know, you've got these things that come out of nowhere, you know, like someone's ill or work commitments and that. So it's a very difficult nut to crack. But just on the short term, I came in and I said, look, I was asked to come in. I said, well, we can avoid relegation, that's job done, and that's how I feel now. I've avoided relegation. I'm very proud of it. I'm proud of the lads and everybody involved in the club and everyone that stuck by us to achieve that. Hopefully over the summer people see that as a close call and pull together and really go for it more consistently next season. Make sure that after 13 games we aren't in the mire and it'll be more comfortable a season.
That's FC Alamann caretaker manager Rick Holden, ahead of his team's what is expected to be the finale to their NWCFL Premier Division season, facing Padiham tomorrow, kick-off at the Ruby Civil Arena at 3 p.m. on Saturday. And you can also listen to the full extended interview that we had with Rick Holden over on the Manx Radio sportscast at manxradio.com. Tony Meppen, very quickly, just bring you back in for 30 seconds for FC Alamann. A difficult campaign, as Rick has mentioned there, for a number of reasons.
Yeah, it is, and change of manager and just player availability, player injury, everything else, it takes its toll. And you know, you always want to start with your best 11. I think there's a dip in form for one or two, and then they've come back strong towards the end. So all in all, 10 out of 10 for Rick, because it was a difficult job to take on. He's done a brilliant job, and whatever happens, we'll wait and see. But, you know, FC Isle of Man can be proud that they've stayed up in the league.
Indeed, Tony, thank you very much. And just as a point of clarity as well, we still don't know the situation with regards to the abandoned game back on the 5th of April between FC Alamann and Prestwich Hayes. Still a decision on that yet to be confirmed. We're going to be taking a short break. When we come back, we're going to be taking a look at all matters rugby, also cricket and athletics to come as well. Before that, though, news is up next.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Printshed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. The time is approaching 5 minutes past six, taking a look towards rugby now in the tail end of many respective seasons for teams across the Isle of Man. Douglas, their promotion playoff campaign gets underway in Regional 2 North West this weekend on the road at Lancaster Bayside Vale of Loom. Meanwhile, Ramsey and Vagabonds Ladies in their respective divisions have their final home games of the campaign to come this Saturday at Morag Park and Bala Fletcher respectively. Let's take a look at this weekend's action. As always, is our rugby correspondent Dave Christian. Dave, first of all, got to turn our attention to Douglas, because despite what has been a poor second half to the campaign, as has been well documented, it is their highest league finish in 50 years, their highest finishing Regional 2 North West, finishing 5th. Now into the promotion playoffs, they've got a tough test up against second placed Vale of Loon, who've been very strong indeed this season, and it's a trip away from home, which makes it more difficult for Douglas. But still, Dave, in one-off games like this, when you're going for a promotion playoff, you know, how much confidence do you have that league points aren't a trouble, it's just a case of let's try and get this done in a one-match showdown almost?
Yeah, I mean, we said last week, Rob, that they were drinking in the Last Chance Saloon. The results went their way. They've made it into the playoffs, but we're in knockout now, so I guess it's the same again. They are drinking in the Last Chance Saloon. If they don't win this one, the season's finished for them. They can go back to the drawing board for next season and look back and reflect on what might have been. But as you quite rightly say, it's their highest finish since they joined the leagues when the Courage Leagues were first set up in 1987. So almost 50 years, and this is their highest finish in the in the rugby pyramid, for want of a better way to describe it. So, yeah, the players will definitely be up for it. They've won at Vale of Loon before. Yes, they've lost there this season, but they've beaten Vale at home, and I think 26-17 or something like that was the result in the away game, and that was as recently as January. So, you know, they're not too far away from Vale of Loon in a fully competitive competition, and back in that January game, both sides were going for it full on. So both sides will be going for at full on. Douglas have got some changes probably to the team that was there in January. There's a couple of changes from last week as well, but again, those players that are all in there are all experienced players with multi-league games behind them. They're not going to be fazed by this at all. There's a good mix of experience, there's youth, there's speed, there's power. They've got a fairly well-balanced team, and they'll go away confident that they can pull off a result. And then if they do that, they've got to do it all again next week when they play the winners of the other playoff game, which is Sandbach and Widnes. Now, they beat Widnes once already this season, but they have lost twice against Sandbach, although the first one was the away game at the start of the season, was very, very close. So they'll know that on the day, if they perform properly and approach the game with the right mindset, try and minimise the mistakes, they'll know that they can win both of these games and potentially get promoted. Now, how they'd fare next season without having to bring in some new talent, potentially some paid players, that's a different question altogether. But right now, they're capable of being promoted. They've got the players, they've got the experience, they've got the pedigree, and they've had a playoff game before. The reason that they're in Regional 2 Northwest is they won a playoff about 10 years ago against De La Salle. Now, Douglas finished higher than De La Salle in the league standings. The game was at home, it was at Portishee. I was there covering that one for Saturday Live. So the longer-serving guys at the club will also know that they've been in playoffs before and they can win playoffs. So all things looking good. I think Douglas will be travelling away very positive. But you are right, Vale of Loon at home aren't going to be easy. They're on the up this season, and they're one each with their games against Douglas. Historically, they've met, I think, 13 or 14 times. Vale are ahead 9-4, 9-5, something like that on wins. But Douglas have won a Powderhouse Lane before. And in recent seasons as well, so they won't be fazed by this at all. The players will be right up for it. Changes they made, I think Owen Carvin is going to come into the front row. Aside from that, I think the forwards are pretty much the same. Some changes around in the back line. I think we've got an injury to Ollie Corkish, so Kyle Martin's going to come in and take up that wing spot. And a move that caused me to raise an eyebrow, at least. Harry Cartwright, who's normally in the back five of the scrummage, he's either second row or back row. Harry Cartwright going to be in at centre there, and I'm wondering, is that tactical? Putting a back row forward in at centre is normally a bit of a stopper, and that might suggest that Vale of Loon have got a bit of talent in their centres that requires a bit of a big man in there to block him out. Alternatively, they might have identified weakness in the Vale of Loon backline and they've put a big straight runner in there to see if they can exploit it. The only way we'd know that is by asking Phil Kringle. He's not available to talk, so we'll have to speculate. But an unusual selection, Harry Cartwright in the centre. But yep, fair play to them. They're going for it. They've got Matty Wood coming onto the bench. He's a player who's been very important for them this season, in my view at least. He picked up a knock last week, but he's fit enough to cover on the bench. And I think if the game's not looking so good in the first 10 or 15 minutes, I think we might see Matty Wood injected a bit earlier. But yep, fingers crossed for Douglas. They've got the players to do it. Let's go and knock Vale of Loon out and get another week of matches at least.
Very well, so here is your Douglas starting 15 to face Vale of Lune. 3 o'clock tomorrow at Powderhouse Lane in the Regional 2 Northwest Promotion Playoffs. Numbers 1 to 15 in order are as follows. It is Simon Hoddenott, Josh Campbell, Owen Carvin, Ethan Kermode, Craig McGee, John Dutnell, Blake Everson, Captain Liam Kirkpatrick, Nathan Robson, Josh Duncan, Kyle Martin, Harry Cartwright, Harry Hewson, Craig Martin and Sheldon Higgins. 3 substitutes for Phil Kringle's team. They are Connor Garland, Percy Hampton and Matty Wood. Elsewhere, final games of the respective campaigns for Ramsey and Vagabonds Ladies. Turn to Ramsey first in County Street ADM Lancashire Cheshire's Minor Conference League. 1 win from their 4 games in the Minor Conference League so far. And they host tomorrow, Dave, the team that are just above them in the standings in 6th, Congleton.
Yes, I mean, unusual this one. Congleton, this should be their second visit to the island, but it was Ramsey's opening game in the Counties 3 league phase. It was an away game, but it was a home game, but they elected to play away because Congleton is doable with a boat fare in it, and it meant that the travel costs were a little bit lower. Congleton, of course, were more than happy to play an away game at home, so there wasn't any drama there. Ramsey lost someone 33-20. Since then, of course, the two sides have been bouncing around in the league. Congleton not gone so well. Ramsey haven't gone so well, so it's a bit of a dogfight at the bottom end of the table. Congleton likely to finish higher in the standings because of the points they're going to be brought forward from phase one. But Ramsey, they'll want to put on a show for their home supporters. It's the final one of the season. And of course, next week they're away at Hoylake in their final league match, which is also going to double up as the final of the Cheshire Bowl. Ramsey beat Hoylake at the Mirrick Park earlier on this season, so they're going to want to go away to Hoylake with a positive performance behind them, a bit of a spring in the step, and hopefully bring back a bit of Cheshire silverware. But that's to come next week. Focusing on Hoylake, there's not that much between them in the table in the minor conference. Hoylake have played 4-1-2, Ramsey played 4-1-1. The points difference is very similar. Congleton minus 37, Ramsey minus 44. One bonus point each. The only difference is that one win. So there's not much to split the two, statistically at least. And you've got to fancy Ramsey. Maybe the home advantage might just help them. The game's kicking off at a ridiculously early 12:30. That's because Congleton are returning on a flight at 5:30. And we've got to try and fit the kickoff and the game in just to allow them to enough time for a shower and a quick bite to eat afterwards before they have to head off to the airport. Ramsey, not quite the same team as last week, and a couple of tactical changes, a couple of force changes. So Miol Flynn's going to come back into the front row. I think Rory Nicholls will swap sides on the scrum. He'll go from the tight head to the loose head, and the changes in the back line as well. Big news for Ramsey is that Jake Richmond and Brandon Atchison are back, two very influential players who've been missing for a couple of weeks, which just coincides with Kieran Neal not being available. So there's a bit of a switch around in the back line, but that Atchison-Richmond partnership has been working well for them for the first part of the season, so they're not going to be strangers, not going to be a new relationship. The big change really is scrum half. Dan Kelly, the youngster, has been going really, really well, but Ramsey identifying a bit of weakness maybe at fullback this week. So Dan Kelly's going to drop back to fullback and Scott Neal's going to go in at scrum half. And again, that's not going to be a massive change for the side. Scott's played at scrum half before. Dan Kelly's played at fullback before. He's only 17, but he's got a remarkable mature head on those shoulders, and he won't have a problem with the adjustment. And of course, you've always got the option to bring him back into scrum half if anything goes wrong and utilise the bench. So fingers crossed for Ramsey tomorrow. They need a positive performance. They were close last week against Ormskirk. They lost 26-8, and their performance was perhaps peppered with quite a few handling errors. They've been working hard at training this week to try and iron those out. So I think we might just see Ramsey win that one, but we'll cover that one for Saturday Live tomorrow for the 12:30 kickoff, so you'll get all the updates during the afternoon.
Excellent. Your Ramsey team to face Congleton then in County 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire's Minor Conference Leagues as follows. Numbers 1 to 15 in order. Rory Nicholson, Ben Hartman, Miol Flynn, Josh Kelly, Ross Quayle, Harvey Collister, Matthew Meekin, Captain Josh Cateen, Scott Neal, Tom Moffat, Braden Roche, Jake Richmond, Brandon Atchison, Will Millsop and Dan Kelly. Three substitutes for Ramsey will be Neil Harmer, Gerard May and Adam Clark. And finally this weekend, Dave, got a couple of minutes to take a quick look at Women's NC2 North South. Vagabonds Ladies will be hosting their final home game of the season up at Bala Fletcher. They're going to be hosting Didsbury Tock H at 2 p.m. tomorrow.
Indeed, and Vagabonds are not far away from the promotion places. I'm looking at the remaining fixtures, and if Vagas win their last two, that'll put them on 55 points potentially, and they might just sneak the second promotion place depending on the results. Unfortunately for Vagabonds, after Didsbury this week, their final game, which is next week, is away against the unbeaten league leaders Sale, who have played 13 games and conceded only 105 points. It's ridiculous, less than 10 points a game. So it's an uphill task for them. Sale are already champions. They can't be caught. So perhaps they'll throw in a weaker side just to give the girls a rest. My guess is when you've played 13, won 13 with a huge score like that, they're going to want a clean sheet. So I think they'll put all their big guns out, which will make it difficult for Vagas. But the opportunity is still there. And to get to the final two games and still be in with a chance says quite a lot about the character of the team. And I'm looking at the team sheet for tomorrow, and you, no doubt you'll go through it very shortly. But it, four out of the front five, sorry, I tell a lie. Four out of the pack, half the pack, is mums and daughters. Sharon McCarrick and Maisie Murray in the front row. Jacinta Tasia in the second row and her daughter Greba Tasia in the back row. That's fantastic to see mums and daughters playing together. And it's also great to see in the men's game when you see dads and sons matching up in the same team. But brilliant for Sharon and Maisie and Jacinta and Greba. And fair play, I hope it goes well. What I'm not seeing, though, from that Vagabonds team sheet is Bea O'Neill. She has been the form player for the last five or six games. No sign of her on that team sheet, either in the team or on the bench. So I suspect she's not available this week, which is a big shame, because if they do want to have a shot at those promotion places, they do need 5 points against Didsbury. We do see, however, that the Cheshire cohort are there. Leona McGovern, Freya Crow, Ros McNair, they're all there, all playing. And I see on the bench, I see the name Fran Hunt. Now, Fran was she was one of the form players in the side, and undoubtedly if she'd have wanted to go a bit further and had picked up the game younger, Fran would have gone quite a long way.
Okay, Dave.
In the same way we've seen Isla.
I do apologise. I'm going to have to cut across you because we are a little bit short for time. But Dave, thank you very much as always. Quickly, that Vagabonds ladies lineup as follows tomorrow. It's PJ Solis, Sharon McCarrick, Maisie Murray, Jacinta Tasia, Georgie Quayle, Holly Shea, Greba Tasia, Charlotte Hurd, Sammy McDonald, Lauren Ellison, Leona McGovern, Freya Crow, Gabby D'Oliveira, Rosina McNair and Holly Scott. After a quick break, we're going to be taking a look at cricket. Two exciting opportunities for two Manx players in Europe, and also a quick look towards two big athletics events coming up for Ireland athletes.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
So to cricket here on Friday Sport Preview. Two Isle of Man cricket youngsters are set to play on the European stage over the next week. Lucy Barnett and Carl Hartman will be part of the ICC Europe Women's and Men's Under-23 teams respectively for multiple T20 fixtures against the world-famous Marylebone Cricket Club, or MCC as it's colloquially known. The women's first fixture has been taking place today at the iconic Lord's Cricket Ground, and then again they'll play tomorrow at the Walmsley Estate. Meanwhile, the men's games take place at the end of the month on the 30th of April. Both Lucy and Carl have been speaking to Darren Timpson.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting really. Think about how many teams are in Europe and how many players to be one of the 14 selected out of thousands is really exciting. It's good exposure, I guess, to hopefully get my name out there a bit.
You're obviously going to be playing at Lords. What does that mean for you?
Well, a lot of people dream about playing at Lords. Like, it's one of the most iconic grounds in the world. To be able to hopefully step onto that pitch is a really exciting opportunity.
It's a really good opportunity for me. Like, there's a lot of players, like all under 23, good sides across Europe, and then playing together against hopefully a very good MCC side. Good experience for us to learn.
And I'm guessing it's some players you've maybe come across with before.
Yes, I've played against a few of them before. There's a few from Guernsey, Jersey sort of area I know of, from Spain as well. So I know of a few of them.
And do you think this is a bit of a recognition for your abilities to take part in this in these matches?
A little bit, yeah. It's been like a few years I've been in and around the Ireland squad. And so the hard work's clearly paid off to get to this point.
Sally Green is the community coach for Isle of Man Cricket. She spoke about the chance for Colin Lucy to play for combined European teams.
It's a fantastic opportunity for both of them, and it's great for the Isle of Man to be recognised with two players in each squad. They are young, bright prospects who are doing really well, and it would be great to see them with other players from other countries against the MCC in some two beautiful cricket grounds.
What is it about Lucy and Carl, which are why you think they were chosen for to take part in this?
Well, with regards Lucy, I mean, her stats, I mean, it's very difficult to not select Lucy with her, with the stats that she has. She's continued to score runs since she made her debut at 15 at Desert Springs, not really that long ago, but she's also turning into an excellent off-spinner as well, so she's got two strings to a bow. And with Carl, Carl's stats are improving. He's a fantastic wicketkeeper, standing up and standing back. He's excellent. People have seen his wicketkeeper on the European Cricket Network with their live streaming, but they haven't seen it as much on TV for the Isle of Man. But we know what a great wicketkeeper, but also a fantastic bat as well. Scores lots of runs on the Isle of Man and has scored runs for the Isle of Man as well. And there's a lot of runs more to come from Cole.
And obviously they aren't the only two people going away. You'll be taking part in the coaching setup as well as part of the women's team. So what does that mean for you personally?
It's fantastic to be recognised. I mean, it was a real surprise when Esther from the ICC asked me if I'd like to be part of the coaching team. And it's a bit of a no-brainer. You're not going to turn it down, and fantastic. I've been to Lourdes a couple of times, but I've never actually been inside of Lourdes on the pitch in the long room, because afterwards we'll be having a meal with all the players. My dad will be coming with me. My dad is a cricketer himself, so that will be lovely to share that moment with my family, and we both have all got some spectators going as well. So yeah, it was great. I've been coaching a long time now. I'm getting on in years, and it's great. It's lovely to be recognised.
Darren Timpson with that report, speaking to Lucy Barnett, Carl Hartman and Sally Green. Finally tonight, we're turning to athletics, and the busy Manx season rolls on with a busy programme continuing to take us into the summer months. And over the next 2 weeks, it's also expected there'll be a strong Ireland representation at two major marathons coming up in Manchester this weekend and London the weekend after. Looking ahead to the weeks and months to come, we've been catching up again with Isle of Man athletics correspondent Dave Griffiths. Dave, thank you very much for joining us again. It's been a few weeks since we last caught up, I think it's fair to say, but a very busy time of year still for athletics. Some big events coming up, and I just want to turn first of all to some of those major ones that are going to be on the calendar in the coming weeks. And of course, coming up this weekend, first of all, we've got the Manchester Marathon, considered by many to be among some of the bigger marathon events in the UK throughout the course of the year. And I understand this year we've once again got a big Manx turnout on the cards.
Yeah, we certainly have. I started compiling a list on the Manx Athletics Facebook page earlier on in the week, and that's now up to 37 names. I'm sure there will be others as well that we don't know about at the moment. It's always a very popular marathon, the Manchester one. And I think what's significant actually this year is that over the last 3 or 4 years, the Manchester and London marathons have taken place on the same day, but they have been separated this year, so there's a week between them. So obviously I think we'll be having a big contingent going to London in a week's time as well. So yes, lots to look forward to.
Indeed. And on the Manchester side of things, like you say, there's a lot of names in there, and unfortunately we don't have time to go through absolutely every single one at the moment, but who are maybe some of those who are potential standouts for the Isle of Man, maybe on a competitive sense?
It's difficult because we've got athletes of all sort of different standards, really. I think an athlete who does a lot of these marathons, doesn't compete a great deal on the Isle of Man, is Eamon Farrell, who is originally from Ireland, but he's a really fine competitor, and he's certainly a regular in things like the London Marathon, sort of other events around the UK as well. So I think he'll be going well. But I think we've just got athletes of all standards who'll just be looking for fast times, regardless of what level they're at. They'll just be looking for personal best times, hopefully reasonable weather conditions. It doesn't look too bad for Sunday. Basically, I hope they all have a good day out.
And of course, in just over a week's time, the iconic London Marathon will be upon us. Like you say, that and Manchester separated, as it happens, this year as well. But I suppose we could talk quite generally at the moment. A lot can happen in the space of a week. But for the London Marathon, I bet you there's plenty of Isle of Man athletes who've been getting prepared for that over the last couple of weeks and months.
I'm sure there are, yeah. I mean, there's one really good story coming up in the London Marathon. That's one of our leading female distance runners, Jess Bryan, who is actually getting married shortly. And her hen night is actually in Manchester on the Saturday night, the night before the London Marathon. So, like, she's going from her hen night straight down to London, presumably in the early hours of the morning, and then straight into the London Marathon. I know she's been training very hard, so that'll be a really interesting one. I think she'll just be running on pure adrenaline that day. As I say, we haven't got numbers confirmed yet of Manx runners in London, but I'm sure there will be a significant number.
This is obviously, I suppose, more generally a key time of year for endurance events. We've mentioned the Manchester and London Marathons, but of course not too far away we've got the likes of the Parish Walk coming up as well, so there's a lot going on if you're an endurance athlete right now on the Isle of Man.
Yeah, there certainly is. I mean, this coming Sunday on the Isle of Man we've got an event that a lot of people who are preparing for the Parish Walk I'm sure will be taking part in, and that's the Firefighters Walk. It's just been brought back and it's great to see that event back. It's a 50 kilometre route which starts in Peel, finishing in Ramsey. It's pretty much entirely along the route of the Parish Walk, so it's a reasonably flat one, but 50 kilometres, so around about 31 miles. We've also got, I mean, coming up in the near future, of course, we're in the transitional period now where the seasons are changing, and despite the weather at the moment, we're sort of starting to think about summer. So we've got things like the Isle of Man Track and Field League, which starts next Wednesday, Wednesday the 22nd of April. That's over four rounds this year, with the second, third and fourth rounds being on the 20th of May, 24th of June and the 22nd of July. And then on Friday next week, Friday the 24th, we have the opening round of the Western AC organised Dave Phillips running series, which is based down at Peel, and that caters for young athletes who just use a course on the promenade, and the older ones who have a choice of one or two laps, which also uses the promenade but also has quite a sharp climb up to the headlands and back down, and that's also a four round series. Similarly, the Ramsey Park Run, always very popular down at the Murrig Park, the first round there is Friday the 1st of May. Looking at the track and field off the island, the Isle of Man, as always, will be competing in the Northern Track and Field League, four matches, one in May, one in June, one in July and one in August. We've got a lot coming up, and obviously looking further ahead, you know, we've got a lot of the big summer events as well.
Athletics correspondent Dave Griffiths there. That's all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this week. Just a little reminder, there are a couple of changes afoot going into next week, so if you want to tune to Friday Sport Preview next week, we'll be here on a new time at 6:30 p.m. from next Friday, so please do just bear that in mind if you want to tune in, and you can catch anything from this programme as a podcast later this evening. All that remains to be said, have a wonderful Friday and a wonderful weekend as well. Until next time, bye for now.